Right now, though, we continue with our broadcast partners, David Dolan, who covers the Middle East for us. Longtime journalist in the Middle East, in Jerusalem in particular, over 30 years, but has lived in the other countries of Lebanon and all over the countryside there. He has traveled, gaining insight into what is happening in that part of the world. David, let's get right to the concerns that there may be coming out of the Middle East. And in fact, on Saturday, this is the Sabbath for the Jewish people. But 2 days ago started the 2-day celebration of Rosh Hashanah, and since the Sabbath followed it, it became a 3-day celebration. High security there in Israel with this Rosh Hashanah, this first of the fall feast taking place, and it's pretty much everybody's going to be watching out as to what is going on.
Well, that's always the case, Jimmy, and it certainly is this year with the threat of war attack from either Hezbollah or Syria, or possibly Iran could get into it if there's a wider action. With that looming over everybody's head, really, and I've had discussions with various Israeli friends about the tone of this year's holiday, and it is a somber tone in the background because everybody, of course, knows that this is looming. Nevertheless, as every year on the Jewish holidays, people gather together and have meals and go to synagogue and that. Rosh Hashanah is really more of a family holiday, Jimmy, where most people stay home. Again, religious Jews will go, as usual, to the synagogue and pray, and there's special services. But apart from that, there's not much that goes on publicly. There's not a lot of street fairs or anything like that, like we will see, God willing, in just a couple weeks during the Feast of Tabernacles, a very public celebration where crowds gather all over the country. And of course, the International Christian Embassy has their annual gathering then, and thousands of Christians come from abroad. So that holiday is much more of a security target, if you will, because we've had more attacks on that holiday, and also during Passover, the Passover holiday, which also tends to be both family but a lot of public things, and of course it goes on a week. So Rosh Hashanah has passed fairly quietly, and as you say, this year a 3-day holiday, given that the Sabbath today is at the end of the 2 days of marking the new year. But again, it's not so much the local security that is on anybody's mind, everybody's mind, the possibility of a bus blowing up or a terror attack, but much more so the possibility of a missile strike coming from the north, Hezbollah or Syria. They don't expect that out of the blue, but certainly if there is a U.S.-led action against the Assad regime, as President Obama is still obviously advocating, pushing for, and trying to get the Congress to go along with, then there's a high expectation that there will be some sort of response involving Israel, and of course that could escalate to a full war, so people are very much aware of that.
Well, let's follow that path just for a moment and talk about the recent G20 meeting that took place last week there in St. Petersburg, Russia. The United States and Russia, President Obama and President Putin, not really heeing and hawing together on the situation in Syria. And does that cause any great concern as far as Israel is concerned?
Well, it does in several levels, Jimmy. The Israelis would like to see as wide an action if this is going to take place. And again, there's ambivalence even in Israel, although they certainly see Hezbollah and Syria and obviously Iran as grave threats and threats that will have to be dealt with at a certain point in time. Yet many are not sure this is the time, and particularly because the U.S. is having such trouble getting Allied support and certainly getting United Nations backing. And, of course, the key reason we can't go to the United Nations and get a resolution like happened with Iraq and Libya and others is Russia. The Russian government still strongly supporting Putin. And I have to say, Jimmy, personally, I think some of the Russian arguments are ones we should consider. They point out that the Assad regime has been protecting minorities in its country, despite the fact that it's a dictatorship, etc. It has protected the Christian community there and the Druze community and other minorities there, precisely because the Alawites that run the government there are also a minority sect, not Sunni Muslims. And so, you know, when Putin says that, hey, if the Sunnis take over, it's going to be an Al-Qaeda state, well, there's every chance that's going to happen. And, of course, that's part of the reason that many U.S. senators and congressmen, and opinion polls show many Americans, are questioning this or opposed to this, because they don't see that the overall outcome will necessarily be favorable to themselves in Israel or the West. And so there is a questioning of that. And again, Russia is the key reason that the international community can't take this issue to the United Nations and win support, because the Russians have made clear that they will veto it. So that is a dilemma. But again, the Israelis have mixed feelings about all this, as the American public does. And so, you know, there's ambivalence. They'd like to see Assad gone, but they're afraid that the Sunni Muslim radicals will take over, and they would rather have the Assad regime controlling those chemical weapons than Al-Qaeda, let's put it that way. And so it's a dilemma, and one, of course, that the White House is dealing with as well right now.
Yes, a major dilemma. But you also mentioned that Hezbollah is going to factor into this, and the possible attack may not come actually out of Syria, but Hezbollah, I understand Hezbollah is preparing to defend Damascus, number one, but also preparing to strike Israel should somebody else attack Syria.
Well, and they've been saying that, their leaders, for a couple years now, really since the beginning of the Syrian civil war, that they would stand with the Assad regime no matter what, and that if any outside force tries to intervene on behalf of it, that they would defend that regime, and they would do so by, partially do so by attacking Israel. They have said that repeatedly, and Iran has said that. And, of course, we have intelligence showing that Hezbollah and Iran have sleeper cells all around the world, certainly in the West, that they could activate. So the chances, and I think, again, this is why many senators, congressmen, and the average American and the average person in Europe and even in Israel is wondering about all this, because the chances this could escalate into a full war are really high. On the other hand, as I mentioned earlier, the Israelis do believe that at some point Iran's going to have to be dealt with, Hezbollah's going to have to again be dealt with. They have been several times, but again, that rocket arsenal they've built up is going to have to be depleted at the very least. So, you know, it's going to come at some point. It's better to have the U.S. on your side than not, but they're wondering if this is being presented in such a way that it will maybe cut short any action against Iran. In other words, if there's an attack on Syria's chemical program and it backfires, there's responses against Israel or the West, other things such as that, that will further reduce the Western appetite for dealing with the Iranian nuclear issue, which, again, as was the case with Saddam Hussein, comparing Saddam Hussein to Syria was like he was nothing compared to Syria. And compared to Iran, Iran is a much graver threat than Saddam posed. So now again they're saying, well, Assad is bad, and of course gassing people to death is horrible, and it does need some sort of response. But will it act to weaken the Western resolve to deal with Iran and its nuclear program? I mean, chemical weapons can kill thousands, tens of thousands. It's a horrible death, as we saw in the films of the writhing people. Sarin gas is horrible, but nuclear bombs obviously can kill millions of people in a split second, and so are a much graver concern, obviously, to the Israeli people and to the government there.
World leaders are going to have to deal with this, but it is going to be a tough decision to make, whichever way they may well go. David Dolan, the man who covers the Middle East for us, it's good to have his updates. He gives us somewhat of an intelligence briefing as it relates to what's going on in the Middle East, in particular with a focus on Syria and what has developed there over the last couple of months. David Dolan, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.